Good evening, everyone. Good to be here tonight. Thank each one of you for coming out. This has been my first time to speak. I was just sitting there thinking. While I was over in the Bahamas, I spoke two times. The last time I spoke was the night that David was there. Kind of interesting. We want to thank you all again for all your prayers for us. We appreciate them. And I really missed every one of you while I was gone. Like they say, you don't really know what you have till you're without it. And really love the Christians here and the fellowship here. We're rich in many ways. We've got our problems, but we're rich. And we thank the Lord for it. Would you turn your Bibles to Philippians chapter 1? Philippians chapter 1, verse 21. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I know not. For I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. And having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance and joy of faith. The Apostle Paul could say, to him to live is Christ. And tonight, if you're here without the Lord Jesus Christ, God sees you as not being alive at all. Without him, there is no life. You must recognize you're a sinner and your need of him who said, I am life. No man comes to the Father but by me. And the Apostle Paul, knowing this, he learned that there was something far better. Life just didn't exist here, but there's a much better life for the Christian on ahead when we're with him. And yet, he also said, but there's something needful. It's more important for me to be here. And that's true of every Christian here tonight. The Lord knows it's more important for us to be here. For I believe that the Lord would rather have us there, don't you? But it's more needful for us to be here. I want to look at one other passage, for to me to live is Christ, and another side of the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. We hear something very positive from him in that verse, for to me to live is Christ. That's a goal that we should all have. 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 27. But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. The apostle gives us a different side to his thoughts here. Sometimes when we minister to others, there's a real danger that we don't hear the message that God has for us, and I'm including myself in that. And this has nothing to do with losing your salvation when he says being a castaway. What he's speaking about is the Lord not using him any longer because of something in his life. And we'd like to look at that a little bit tonight as believers in Christ. What affects our lives as Christians? Paul says to me to live is Christ. And yet he also says, lest by any means I should be a castaway. Sometimes we take a pen, don't we? We might have a very expensive pen and we write with it. And then something happens with it. And we set that one aside. And we pick up another pen and we start writing with that. And I'd like to liken that a little bit to what the Lord does with us. If something comes in, self is our problem. And if that comes into our lives, the Lord no longer uses it. He just puts us down for a while. But he also comes and uses us again. Think of Paul's passion to save men. Everywhere he went, he goes to Philippi. He casts a demon out of a little girl. And they throw him in jail as a result of that. He's not there very long, and the Philippian jailer comes to know the Lord Jesus, he and his family. They send him to Athens. Not very long, he's at Mars Hill, and there's a little gathering, a little church gathering right there around that little hill, just a little lower than the Acropolis. Put them alongside Aquila and Priscilla, making tents. Not very long before they come to know the Lord Jesus. The Lord picked him up and used him. He is a chosen vessel unto me. And that's a true statement for every one of us that are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ here tonight. Each one of us is a chosen vessel of the Lord's. And I wonder if we're fulfilling the purpose that he's given to us in living. Lest I should be a castaway. And even though we might minister to others, we might be on platform, we might be Sunday school teachers, there's many different ministries we may have. But if the Lord doesn't have a hold of us, ourselves, then we've really lost the effectiveness that he wants each one of us to have. Are we like that? Do we feel like the Apostle Paul, our own weakness, that we're nothing apart from what the Lord has made us? Remember, he said in 1 Corinthians, he said, why do you glory like you have something special when it's all been given to you? And we need to remember that the Lord has given to us our gifts. The Bible is literally littered with castaways, with men and women who fell and were no longer used of the Lord like they could have been. But there were also many that the Lord restored too. Think about Esau. Just one momentary hunger. And he says, Jacob, I want some of that pottage. And Jacob said, well, give me your birthright. Give me your spiritual birthright, and I'll give you some meat to eat. And Esau did that. And even though he was rich later, we read of he and Jacob's meeting, and it looked like he was a rich man as far as this world was concerned, but as far as God was concerned, he sold it all just for a little bit of pottage. And the New Testament tells us Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. And then we look at Saul. Saul was a king, anointed king of Israel. Samuel, I've done everything that the Lord told me to do. I've obeyed him in every instance. Well, what's this sound of the sheep I hear? Well, not everything. He just kept back one thing, and the Lord rejected him. He reigned 10 more years after that, but he was really a castaway because we know David was anointed to be king over Israel. Sometimes when you minister to other people and you give a serious message, people come up to you and say, I really enjoyed that. That was good for brother or sister. And you just say, missed it. Just totally missed it. It's like we put up an umbrella and it all rolls off of us and rolls over onto others. The message is for me. Jacob, when he wrestled with the Lord was trying to show him his weakness. Always figuring a new way, conniving to get around things. And the Lord just touched his thigh. I'm sure he went home to Rachel and said, well, I just had an interesting time with the Lord. It was a lot of fun. That's not what it was. He went home and said, I'm never going to walk the same again. And the Lord wants us to walk differently too. The Lord Jesus is in heaven tonight. And he's over the entire church, every one of us. And he's just waiting and praying and just helping us to become what he has in mind for us to become. And so often we fall short of it. We let other things come in that would hinder our Christian lives. The Lord took Jeremiah. He took him down to the potter's house and he says, watch. And the potter picked up some clay and he put it on a spinning wheel and it was marred in the potter's hands and pieces fell. But instead of the potter picking up totally new clay and working with it, he picked up the pieces and he put them back together again. And that's what the Lord's in business to do for each one of us. Every one of us as believers, I'm sure, have areas in our lives sometimes that we don't want to give the Lord. And we hold back his ministry through us. But he wants to use us. Mothers, they pick up their little baby sometime, and they look at him and they say, I wonder what he's going to be one day. I wonder what she's going to be one day. And I'm sure all of us can identify with that, those feelings. And that's exactly what God does. He picks us up. He wants to save us from our sins and then make us what we can be, really what we can be. Our full potential is what he wants us to do, wants to do with us. Surely God is greater in his desire for us than we can ever be for our children. I was thinking and telling Ted about David. You know, we really loved him, but God loved him more. And sometimes we think we love more than he loves, but the Lord loves more. He empathizes with us. He knows our suffering. And sometimes he just says, that's enough. And he takes us home to be with himself. What a wonderful thing that God wants the very best for us. Sometimes we blame God. We do. We blame him. If we say things like this, if I just had some more money, it would be okay. Or sometimes we say, if we're single, sometimes you're single girls and guys, if I was just married, it would make all the difference in the world. If I just had a husband that loved me and I had children to hold on to me and call me mommy, it would make all the difference in my life. Sometimes we think that fixing the air conditioner and laying the carpet and fixing the cars and all those different things are hindrances to our lives. But the Lord orders them for us. If I'd only been a missionary, life would have been totally different for me. Well, is God in control? Or is he not in control? You learn that the Lord is in control. We read in Job that the angels came in to the Lord, came into his presence. Each one of them gave an account of what they were up to, even Satan himself. And that's a wonderful promise to realize that the devil himself cannot lay one hand on us except for the Lord's express permission. Have you seen that brother or sister? Living a life for me. Well, he wouldn't. You let that hedge down, we'll see how good they live. The Lord protects us, not only with his spirit inside of us, but with angels protecting us as well. God is the one who chooses our lot in life. He's the one. We want to buck him sometimes, but he chooses our lot. Just think of all the possibilities that God could have had for you. But he put you right where you are so you could be a witness right there for him. He wants us to be all that we can be. We hear, be all that you can be in the army. That's not the place, and I'm sure over in the Middle East, that's not where they'd rather be right now. But the Lord wants us to be all that we can be by his working in and through us. Your soul and my soul was a matter of great thought to him. Just think of the extent that the Lord went to, the Father went to redeem our souls. And sending his own beloved Son and dying for us, just to prepare a way for us to go to heaven. But not only does he do that, he chooses every one of your irritations and your trials and your testings and all of those things because he wants us to be the best that we can be. Think about that. Every little irritation and testing and trial. Why does the Lord allow these things? Does he do it just to be mean? You know, sometimes as parents, your little girl might be a real stubborn, or little boy might be a real stubborn little rascal, and you just try to break that will. But let's just say that one day they came to you and said, Mom and Daddy, I'm going to do from now on whatever you tell me to do. Well, what would you do? Would you try and make it difficult for them then to make sure that they're what they should be? No, we wouldn't do that. And that's not what God does either. He uses the easiest things, the gentlest ways to get us to the point that he wants us to be at. And isn't that wonderful? What a wonderful God we have. What is our main problem? We see it every day in the mirror when we get up. Self. Public enemy number one. Just like we see our picture in the post office. Most wanted. And he's the most wanted to get rid of. Self. That's our problem. Sometimes, this is what we do with the Lord. We say, Lord, here's the keys to my life. And we go like that. And he says, well, what about that one key, Keith? Well, Lord, I can't give you that key. And he hands them back to us and he says, well, if you can't trust me with all of your life, then you're just not trusting me at all. But Lord, that's the key to one area of my heart that I don't want to let go of. I've got one problem, and I don't want to give that to you. And sometimes I think we just need to pray, Lord, I can't give this key to you, but just take it from me. Just take that area of my life and make me what I should be. All of us have done this. Not one of us is immune to this. None of us are what we should be. Just take it, Lord, and make me what you want me to be. That's what we have to pray. The Lord is a potter. We're just clay. And he's trying to mold us and make us something beautiful that he wants us to be. Sometimes he comes to us, and we know he's saying this to us, Keith, what about that area in your life? And we want to, you know, we'll hear about it, just like James says, we see it in the Word, and we leave and just forget about it. Forget what manner of men and women we are. The Lord says, take a look at that. Work on that. Ask me for my help in that area, and I'll make you what I want you to be. What about this? What about that area? And we should just simply say, Lord, that's yours too. You just take it, and you take my life and make it what you want it to be. And that's not always easy. Sometimes that can be the hardest thing you've ever experienced in your life. And I'm sure it was tremendously hard for Abraham when the Lord came to him and said, Abraham, I want you to give me the thing that you love the most, the best thing that you have, the thing I promised you. I want you to give up your son Isaac and offer him up on the hill. But I'll tell you, Abraham obeyed the Lord, and as a result, the Lord blessed his life. And that's really the key. When the Lord shows us a little bit of ourselves, sometimes we just want to throw it away, but he wants us to just simply give it to him. Do you think the Lord is going to take something from us and hit us in the back with it? It's all for our blessing, every single bit of it. Make me willing, Father. How do we get rid of self-life? How do I get rid of myself? Because I really believe that's a key to every one of our Christian lives. How do I get rid of myself? I believe there are three answers. First of all, the cross. You've got to go to the cross. Secondly, the work of the Spirit of God in our life. And third, we must get a new vision of the Lord Jesus in heaven. The risen, glorified Savior. Just as Paul said, that I may know him in the power of his resurrection. In Romans chapter 8, verses 3 and 4, the Lord takes us to the cross. And he says this, what the law could not do, and that it was weak to the flesh, God sending his Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. The flesh is just simply another word for self. Who walk not after self, but after the Spirit. And all the Lord is saying here simply is this, is that when the Lord Jesus died on the cross, every Christian here died. You might as well just think that you were on the cross. You died that day. Put in the electric chair. End of Keith. End of anyone here. Put your own name in there. Throw the switch. Gone. Self, gone at the cross. And that's the reality. When we get baptized, that's what we're saying. When we go into those waters, we're saying that's the end. Dead. And if I held you under the water long enough, you'd be dead. And that's the picture. We died. And now, it's not I, but Christ lives in me. For to me, to live is Christ. And that's the point that he's making. They that are Christ not only died on the cross, not only does Paul point to that, But the Spirit of God says, look at the way Christ died, crucified. What a terrible death the crucifixion was. And that's what every one of us deserve for our sin. Look at the way the Lord Jesus died. He was crucified. And they that are Christ crucified self with all of his affection and lust. Every one of us has desires. Some of us might put in that verse, for to me to live is money. Or to me to live is win the lottery and everything will be okay. Or to me to live is, and we can put a lot of things in there, getting married. Whatever you want to put in there. For to me to live is just get rid of these children for a few days. You can put a lot of things in that verse. But for to me to live is Christ. We start at the cross. When we get saved, we should say that we don't always realize that's the end of me. The end of self. Remember Peter, he made that great confession to the Lord. He said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And the Lord blessed me. He said, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah. For flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto thee, my Father, which is in heaven. But then the Lord said this, I'm going to die. I'm going to the cross. And Peter turned right around. He said, be it far from thee, Lord. And then the Lord said, get thee behind me, Satan, for thou savorest not the things that be of God. You see, the Lord was teaching Peter and the disciples an important lesson. Until we go to the cross and we die, we can never be what the Lord intends us to be. We have to die on the cross. And he said that. He said, if any man will come after me, let him deny self, take up his cross, and follow me. The world tells us, we don't want Christ. Give us Barabbas. We'll have Barabbas. That's what the world says. But the Christian should say, no more Barabbas. I don't want any more self. Give me Christ. That's what I need. And that's what we all need. We need him. The Lord didn't leave us without help, though, did he? If he just asked us to live a life that would be pleasing to him, it's utterly impossible. Just like if I put this pen up here, that's how well we can stand on our own. It's impossible to be what the Lord asked us to be. But he gave us a power to be what he wants us to be. He gave us the Spirit of God that lives within us. And I don't know about you, but I never really thought about it until I went to the Bahamas and I studied the Spirit. But he's a person. He's not a thing. Sometimes we think of the Holy Spirit as a ghost or something. It says that, the Holy Ghost. But he's a person living within us, one of the three of the Godhead. And he's there to enable us every day to live a victorious Christian life. And we need to ask the Lord by his Spirit to help us to be what we should be from day to day. Sometimes we just don't plug in to the power that the Lord has given to us. It's almost like we have a steam locomotive running down the tracks. We need the Word of God, and yet we need the steam too. We need the power of the Holy Ghost working in and through the Word of God to help us. It pleased God to reveal his Son in me. That's interesting. The word there, to reveal, means literally to undrape. You know, sometimes we have a bust or a piece of art and we've got it all covered with cloth and we want to say, now we're about to undrape this beautiful work of art. Well, that's what it says. It pleased God to reveal, to literally undrape his Son in me. Now, all of us, the moment we accept Christ, we have the Spirit of God within us. We have the Spirit of the Lord Jesus within us. But when did God undrape the holiest of holies? When the veil was rent, wasn't it? When the Lord Jesus died, the veil was rent from the top to the bottom. And now we can see into the very holy of holies. And as soon as all of us get a picture of the cross, not only a picture, but we have died to ourselves, then the Spirit of God takes the cloth off, he undrapes, and he reveals his Son in and through us. That's a wonderful picture to us of what the Lord does for us. Not only do we need the cross and the Spirit of God working in us, but we also need to see the Lord Jesus in glory where He is today. And I'll give you a little example of that. Picture some mountain climbers, and all of them have their picks and their little cleats on their shoes to get up the mountain, and there's all these men tied together via one rope. And the last man begins to fall. And the next man up tries to hold on as he falls, and he falls. And the next man up falls, and the next man falls. But the last one has got a grip and enables every one of those others to get back to the side of the mountain, save their lives. The last one holds on. And that's the power of the Lord Jesus and His resurrection. Where is He today? He's at God's right hand. And He said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And not only did He say that, I'll never lose you. I've got you in my hand. My Father has you in my hand. We can never be lost. And the whole picture there is the Lord Jesus in heaven. And even though we may fall, He's going to pull us up. And we're all going to be there with Him one day. A wonderful picture. And that's why we need to look at the Lord Jesus again in glory. The glory that's ahead of us, that's what we should be living for. Not the things that are seen, but the things that are seen are temporal. But the things that are not seen are eternal. And the older I get, the more I really believe the things that we see are the most unreal things there are. But I don't know about you, but people, as we look at each other, we can see a lot of unreality, can't we? Well, I promise, and our promises mean that. There's a lot of unreality in the things that are seen. But what God says, the unseen, those things are real. And we can take them and bank on them. Sometimes we can start resting on our laurels. And we think that our lives are up to a par that are pleasing to the Lord. But we need to remember that our lives can always improve. The Lord always sets goals for us. He sets one, reset. And we reach that, and He sets another one for us, and another one, and another one. It's like the talents. He gives you some talent. Use that one. And as you use that one, He'll give you more, and more, and more. And He knows our limitations, and He'll give us those things that we need. The Bible says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Work out what God has worked in to us. He doesn't want us just to take. He wants us to give to others. And that's what the Apostle Paul was saying. For to me to live is Christ, but look how it affected him. To stay here is more needful for you. He recognized the Lord had him there to minister to others. And that's why we're here. We're not here for ourselves. We're here to be a minister, to minister to others. The Lord, as He gives us things, as He shows us things in His Word, as other Christians might talk to us and try to help us in our lives using the Scriptures, we need to listen. And we need to take what they say to heart and change as the Lord helps us. Sometimes you might be in an art class. Let's say you went to an art class and you were with Rembrandt. Don't you think you'd be sitting on the edge of your seat just watching him show you all the little tricks? But if you just sat there and you didn't obey or follow what he had taught you, it would be of no value at all, would it? The Lord shows us things in our lives and He wants us to obey, to put them into practice so that we may reap the benefits of those changes. The Lord is very, very gracious to us. I was reading this book over in the Bahamas, one of the best books I've ever written, as far as my Christian life is concerned. F.B. Meyer, The Christ Life for Your Life. I don't know if they're even printing it anymore, but Moody Press printed it, 50 cents. And this was printed. I just want to read you one little passage out of this book. It really meant a lot to me, and I hope it'll mean a lot to you tonight as we consider how the Lord works with us in our lives. A dear friend of mine told me that her boy came back from school with scarlet fever. He came home in a carriage wrapped in blankets. As he was brought into the hall, she met him and said, "My boy, mother has got a room upstairs for you and herself, and mother is going to sit down by your bed, and she is never going to leave it till you are well. And mother is going to help you fight against the fever." And she shut herself up in the bedroom with him. Do you think she loved the boy less because he was so long getting well? Once he said to her, "Mother, you have not kissed me lately. Don't you love me quite so much because I've got all these marks?" She kissed him and said, "I loved you before, but I think I love you better now. So, dear soul, cursed with the sin which thou hast taken into thy heart, God hates the sin, but he loves thee. He knew all about it before he chose thee. He will never be surprised. He will never be disappointed. He will never love you less. But the more sinful you are, the weaker you are. The more often you have a relapse and go back, the more often you fall. The mother in God, for there is mother as well as father in God, the mother in God who has come into your heart will fight sin step by step with you. Your weakness will command his strongest love. He sits down beside you. The fever is on your head and body. He knows it will take long vigil, long care, long patience. He has counted the cost. He is prepared for a long sickness. He has taken you in hand, your passions, your impurity, your gossip, your sulkiness, your jealousy, your vainglory, your love of money, your love of sin. God knows it all, but he has come and will never leave you for a moment. If you will let him, he will make short work. If you resist him, you will make the work longer. But he will never leave you. He will never give you up. And however often you fall, go back to him again. Suppose some mother had a boy with scarlet fever, and in the fever he got delirious, and instead of keeping in bed, he kept getting up. It would be very trying to his mother, very disappointing. He would throw his recovery back, but the mother would still cling to him. She would be sorry and disappointed and wish she had not done it, but she would love him. She could not give the boy up. She would bring him through. O soul, thou hast thought ill of thy God. Thou hast thought because thou didst so often fall that God was tired of thee. Ah, thou knowest not that his tender mercy is infinite, and he will never let you go. Never. And until in heaven he kisses your face, out of which the fever and the brand of sin have gone forever. Oh my God, thou wilt kiss my soul into hell. The Lord saved us at the cross, didn't he? He saved us from sin. But we still have a problem with sin from day to day, don't we? We need the Lord's help and patience, encouragement all along the way. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he, the Lord, delighteth in his way. Though we fall, we've all fallen, haven't we, brothers and sisters? It makes us wonder how the Lord can even use us at all. We fall, but we shall not be cast down. Why? For the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. And if we're a success at all in life, not because we're anything, because the Lord has upheld us, kept us from sin. Oh, we need his help from day to day as a potter. And to remember the words of the Apostle Paul, don't get proud. Don't get proud. Realize that everything we have is a gift from the Lord. And that we need to remember that to me to live is Christ. Knowing Christ is to minister to others. And be careful that we ourselves, in ministering to others, have not forgotten our first love. And let sin come into our lives that the Lord really can't use, lest we ourselves should be a castaway. If the Lord would just set us aside, what a shame that would be. And you know, brother and sister, every one of you in this assembly, I love the Lord. But we can only be as strong as each one of us is individually. As each one of us love one another and pray for one another, is the only way that the Lord will use this assembly as a whole. May the Lord help us for His name's sake, be what He would have us be, reach our potential for Him. Father, we thank Thee for Thy precious word. We think of this great apostle, and as we look back on his life, we see the victory that Thou hast went through him. And yet we know his own fear of being put aside as a castaway from service for Thee. And we thank Thee that Thou hast hold him up. And Thou art the same as we were singing tonight. The Lord Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And the same Lord that held him and protected him and preserved him for his service can protect and preserve us. O Lord, help us to recognize our own weakness before Thee, that we need Thy help every day to die to self, that people might not see us, but they might see Christ. We pray Thy blessing on our time together, and we pray if anyone here does not know the Lord Jesus, their Savior, they might come and know Him tonight, and to know His life eternal. And in the precious name we pray, amen.